Call the special meeting of the common council Tuesday, September 22nd to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Excuse, I don't have that authority, but...
Alderman Mayor?
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Taylor?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's good to see so many employees and in the audience. I'm just wondering why nobody's sitting near our former Alderman Solomon. Is there something we need to know?
Nobody wants to touch it.
Okay, we're going to go to item B, citizen's comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Any citizen wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will close the citizen's comment period. Move on to item C. Presentation of the mayor's 2016 recommended budget and review the budget preparation time table. In front of you, common council members, you have the recommended budget. Mark will run through this for you. It's been a lot of hard work on the part of Mark and Paul's staff. We had a few meetings. But the budget, if you go to page IX, I'll just go right to the bottom line. It shows an increase in the levy of $149,000 and a modest increase in the what the final number was. And the rate is flat. So given that, Mr. Roberto.
Good evening. So the intent today is to run through some of the highlights of the mayor's recommended budget. We did spend some extra time trying to put the budget document into context because when you watch the news and you hear about the economic condition, you generally are getting the national and international perspective. And that's really tends to be where they focus, whether they're talking about economic indicators or bad quarterly employment reports. They always focus on the national and international impacts, whereas it's the local government that is probably the most impacted. It's the local government that is the most hands-on with its citizens. Everything from snow plowing to even police enforcement on the streets, water provision, that's all happening at the local level. And these same economic impacts affect local government probably more than the state and the federal level. And in general, the presentation today will look at economic conditions, the property taxes, some of the primary initiatives in the budget, and then we'll run through very quickly some expenditures and revenues by funds and some operating highlights. So I mentioned already that the impact on the economic conditions are sort of skipped from the local basis, and even though local government that's really impacted the most. And we're largely impacted by the economic conditions and the state-imposed mandates and restrictions. So much of the budget actually tends to be largely uncontrollable. There's a lot of things that happen within the budget that we have to work around or work through and that we can't directly control. Good ones there on the bottom of the screen, the state-imposed property tax restrictions, they impose them on a one-size-fits-all basis. Everybody has the same rule for local governments, and it doesn't matter how you operated as a government beforehand. If you were very frugal, as Franklin has historically been, in holding down your property taxes, you're in the same boat. In fact, it's a little stricter because your limited percentage growth on a smaller basis is more difficult. It doesn't matter what kind of growth rates your community has, other than the one straightforward number. You get growth, you get that much. But the nature of that growth and how it develops, your growth patterns, whether it's a residential or commercial, doesn't matter. Similarly, the service demands in your community, it's very difficult. If you're determining that for the betterment of your citizens or for the quality of life that your citizens are looking for, you're looking to expand a service, be it police or fire or public works, you have to do it within those same constraints, unless you go through very extra efforts, for example, of doing a referendum. But for the north, you can't just do normal course of business to significantly address service demands. And so those restrictions that the state puts on local government really makes it a one-size-fits-all category. And everybody's not in the same boat. And so in that context, it is useful when you're looking at the annual budget. It's an appropriate time to look at the context that you're trying to deal with the budget. The Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance is a good neutral source of information on this, and they put out a fact book every year called Municipal Facts. And it breaks down all of the communities in the state up to about 130,000 into different categories. The category we fit into is, I believe, it's 30,000 to 150. They use that breakdown because if you include all the communities under 150,000, you've covered about a little over half the citizens in the state. If you look at the tax rates for that group of people, communities in which Franklin is thrown, you can see we have one of the lowest property tax rates. And that, when you apply that one-size-fits-all rule to that, that does put Franklin at a bit of a disadvantage. It levels out a little bit. We get a little more average when you look at it on a per capita basis, but our tax rate is still considered one of the lower ones. That per capita position sort of holds its spot when you look at it in equalized value. So we have a lower tax rate, but we have a moderate equalized value. That does restrict then the total revenues. If we had the lower tax rate than a very high one, it would put us in a higher category of net revenues. That's not the condition we're in. And when you break down these equalized values, it becomes pretty stark, the picture that you see. On the residential side, Franklin has the highest percentage of total residential valuation out of the entire group. And on the flip side of that, we have the lowest commercial. What that ends up meaning is that one-size-fits-all tax restraint that the state forces us into really means that much of our growth, much of our tax burden is on residential property. So if you want to be able to impact that residential tax burden, it is more difficult in Franklin because a larger percentage out of all the comparably sized communities in the state, according to the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, a larger percentage of that tax burden is going to be distributed to residential property taxes. The other area where the state's constraints sort of handcuff us a little bit is in shared revenues. You can see we have much lower shared revenues than many of the communities in our similar circumstances. Oak Creek is much higher than us, largely because of the power plant. That's a special revenue source for them. But there are a number of communities there that are in similar circumstances to us, and our shared revenues are low. Again, these are formulas that have been in place. They're a one-size-fits-all formula, and they have not worked out in Franklin's benefit. By being lower in shared revenues based upon the constraints the state applies, that limits alternative sources in property taxes, because shared revenues are one of the larger secondary revenues that communities have when they deal with their budget. So again, the outside constraint, we really have no ability to affect shared revenue, means property taxes, which are also constrained, are one of our few remaining options. So if we can't address it from revenue, about the only other way, one of the other primary ways to address your impact of property taxes is expenditures. I know these are difficult to see. The star shows you where Franklin is. That same report took four different categories of expenditures, which are general government, street maintenance, fire ambulance cost per capita, and police spending per capita. You can see Franklin is generally on the bottom portion of the curve, if not the bottom third, at least the bottom half of each of those. So that does make it difficult for us to say, okay, the way to moderate it then is through spending. And a lot of these operating areas, as you'll see when we talk about the budget, have regular constraints, inflationary costs, contracted services, where, you know, if we're paying somebody else for a service or supply and we can't control that price, and the influence on those is headed up, whereas we have these continued constraints upon us. So that does sort of put the city in sort of a challenging environment when moving forward with the budget. So when you look at the budget that's actually proposed, as the mayor said, down at the bottom of the screen, the final property tax rate is expected to be the same as in 2015. As far as the tax rate goes, growth would allow us to have about a 0.94% increase in the property tax rate. That would be more than the $149,000. That $149,000 was a little under 0.75, I think it's a 0.72. So it's less than 0.75% growth. The reason we budgeted and targeted that instead of the full 0.94 is there is a little adjustment, and I apologize, there should be an asterisk here that points out that these two are equalization adjustments that happen to the property tax rate. There's some confusing math and accounting that goes on, but when the state makes corrections to prior year's property taxes, they then correct future years and sort of make a double adjustment in it so that property taxpayers in that region or for that jurisdiction get their money back. Usually those adjustments amount to fractions of a penny, you know, 0.2%, 0.3%, 1 year. This particular year, we were aware that they were making a correction in the neighborhood of $7 million in valuation, and it was going to have about a 3.5-cent impact on the property tax rate. Even if we, normally if you take the exact growth that you're allowed, the 0.94% we'd be allowed, normally you take that growth, it would then keep the rate the same, and all the new taxpayers of that growth would be providing the increase. As it happens, much of the growth we experienced was that created that 0.94 was in one of the TIF districts, so that's not paying the general. So we've accommodated for that and reduced that 0.94, anticipated what the state's equalization factor will do so that we can hold the property tax rate level. There's still a nominal total increase, like I said, less than 0.75% of increase in property tax levy, but the rate carried out to the thousandths of a penny there is largely the same. In the budget, given the discussion that we had about the economic condition that we're in and the need for growth of the commercial base, including retail, office, light industrial, light manufacturing, the mayor's budget does anticipate and include a number of issues relative to economic development. The first being it does include the expenditures necessary for the continuation of TIF, expansion of TIF 4. It does include the borrowing and Fast estimates available for what would become TID 5, which is Area A. The Buxton funding for $50,000 is included in the budget, but given that the total benefit was still an item under discussion with Buxton and with staff, the funding has been put in the contingency fund, so that if you decide not to do it, it remains there. So it's not appropriated directly, but it's there in the budget. It's full appropriation. Simple majority authorizes it. So, but it was put in the contingency fund. Similarly, knowing that a new economic development director is soon to be on board, and with the different areas that we are investigating our economic potential, we did put in $25,000 in additional appropriations within the Economic Development Division for additional professional services, resources, work, analysis, reports, promotional materials, just so that if we're really going to kick it off and get moving, we have some money to work with, some seed money internally, so that economic development as a division can really get moving. And if there's additional reviews or reports from whatever consultants that the Common Council wants, there's appropriation already available to do it, so we don't immediately tap into the contingency fund, which is what happened this year. We evaporated the contingency fund very quickly with the work we've done this year on economic development. So we wanted to make sure that didn't happen again right away this year. We built in some additional funding for that. The classification and compensation study is built into this budget. The only difference is because of the timing, the actual completed results, adjustment of the actual personal services appropriations to accommodate the implementation of classification and compensation should be considered incorporated within the budget, even though it wasn't possible to change the actual numbers. So between now and October 5th, Paul's staff and myself will work together to create a single document that shows you how the appropriations are laid out and how they would shift between departments and fund for the actual implementation of the classification and compensation study. And you'll hear plenty about that tonight, because that's the presentation that follows the budget presentation. Another effort we undertook in this budget was to try to expand the transparency of the budget. There's already enough funds and activity in the budget where before I finish going through all of them, people start to get glassy-eyed, I'm sure, a little bit. And I won't go through all of these today, but we have looked throughout the scope of the city's financial activities and tried to find all of those activities where we do have some expenditures. Particularly, you can look at the list here, some of the donations funds, the grants account, Civic Celebration, St. Martin's, utility development, the self-insurance fund. Those are areas where we have expenditures, but they've either been nominal expenditures or they've been sort of expenditures on the books, but we really haven't had a section for it in the budget where you can see that, yes, the city expects to get X amount of grants from the fire department, and we spend them for those for these purposes. So we've established sections for each of those. There are two where it still says to be provided, one of which is a library auxiliary fund that they've had for a number of years. It does show up in our CAFR, but it isn't currently in the budget. It's controlled by the library board, but we should still reflect it for governmental transparency as a budget document. Similar with the senior travel program. We've had one line item for one expense in the budget, but the program itself significantly more expensive. So we're looking for all of, and we believe we've sort of captured them all here now, all of the areas where we have expenses get a budget presentation. There are a number of personnel changes in the budget. A lot of words on the screen, but I'll run through them very quickly. The first is there's a reclassification of the clerk typist in the clerk's office to secretary. There's an additional light equipment officer added in the Public Works Department. The intent of it that it will be shared between DPW and Parks.
We're going to swear in this guy?
Pardon?
light equipment officer.
Did I? Oh, do I have a typo?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
Right. He's going to get sworn in.
Better than sworn out.
Yeah, could be that.
We do also fully fund the economic development director position. It is fully funded in this year's budget, but part of it were charged back to the TIF districts. And since some of the development of the different TIF districts are still in discussion, we didn't want the determination not to pursue one of them to mean there was no only partial funding available. So we have made sure the position was fully funded within the budget. And this coming year, 2016, is one of those odd years. If a leap year starts where the first day of the week is a weekday, not a weekend, the first day of the year, you actually have more paid work days in the year than a typical year. And if you don't figure to pick that up in an annual budget, you can have yourself actually be about 0.75% your total payroll short at the end of the year. It happens very rarely, less than once a decade, but it can happen. It happens in cycles, and it just so happens that 2016 is one of those years. So we did budget for that extra 0.75%. It's about an extra $100,000. But since we did, since it's a one-time cost, it'll go away in 2017, and we have fund balance, and in fact, we have plenty of fund balance with issues of being too high of a fund balance based on our own policy. We did fund that through fund balance. So at the end of the year, that cost will go away, and the appropriation goes away with it, so it's an appropriate use of fund balance. The budget anticipated total resources equivalent to a 2.5% January 1st general non-represented personal wage increase. However, when you look at implementation of the classification and compensation plan, exactly how you implement that can impact resources for next year. I'll give you a simple example. If you give somebody a 1% pay raise on July 1st, half of that pay raise gets paid out before December. The other half of that, your budget is still feeling after January. It's not built into your base yet. So how we implement it, the start dates, the what component of retroactivity we have in how we implement the classification compensation study in 2015 will impact the available resources of 2016. What you will see is the net result of that, depending how you, if you do it in the manner that I'm sort of recommending, you'll have probably at least enough for an additional 1.5% raise effective around April or May. But what we'll probably do is look at how that market should adjust. Numbers you're going to look at today from the consulting are 2015 numbers. You'll look at the 2016 adjustment, and you may find that you're better off doing a 2% adjustment a few months later than a 1.5%. The money to the employees that year is the same, but it keeps the rate at pace with the economy. So that's, that nuance we'll address after the term of the year and after you determine the implementation. Shared revenues are worth taking a quick look at. General transportation aids, again, they're dictated by the state. We have no control over them. There's a formula that they use, and the more cost-effective we are, the more we can be impacted by it. Ours are going down nearly $70,000, and expenditure restraint went down around $68,000. Now, luckily, this year we have a one-time increase, it'll be built into the base. It's a one-time increase of exempt computer aids, which is sort of a follow-over from the previous closure of a TIF, where the state refunds communities for computer aids that were pulled out of the personal property tax calculation. So that increase is around, I believe, $220,000 or so. So that does give us a net increase in shared revenues of approximately $90,000. The state normal course of business, they expected to remove nearly $140,000 in our shared revenue. The general fund contingency is worth always taking a look at. In there, we have $1,050,000. $875,000 of that is what we identify as the restricted contingency for you to be able to use it. It requires a budget modification by our own policy. And that means you do need four votes to be able to use that. That's the amount that we don't anticipate using, but if we have emergency needs come up, we have the appropriation available. Because again, under state statute, you can only spend the dollar you have if you have the appropriation available. If somebody walked in today and said, here's $500,000 to use for X, you would have to be able to appropriate. If we did not have room under the state's expenditure restraint program to add that, we would lose the expenditure restraint money, which is a substantial portion of money for us. So we address that by building in appropriations that we don't intend to use except for emergency purposes. So it's a smart fiscal plan to have that added appropriation, and it has the side effect of preserving room under the expenditure restraint program. A little side note here, that is an area where Paul and I expect maybe to come back with some further recommendations during your budget deliberations, because we do know that we have in 2017, we have that large payment coming back from MMSD, but it comes back to the general fund, and if we want to transfer it to another fund, we need an expense to be able to do that. And even with the budget that, even having the $875,000 in contingency there, we are still under the expenditure restraint program by at least another $900,000, I believe. So we have room to adjust that this year so that we can plan ahead for expenditure restraint program needs in 2017. So we'll do some fiscal analysis on that, and we may come back and suggest that that number be increased. The remaining $175,000 of the contingency includes, the $50,000 for Buxton, and then that the last $125,000 is for your normal course of business. Things come up that you don't necessarily anticipate, and that gives you plenty of room to be able to address those. The assessed valuation, this budget does anticipate that it is a reassessment year, that it will be not the short-term reassessment that we did 3 years ago, because we are further out of alignment than we were at that time. So it would be the full reassessment with Street View. I will probably be coming in with a request to let them update their photo data out of some reserve monies for this year and get a head start on that project. The preliminary assessed value, you can see there, over $3 billion, and it amounts to an increase of just over 1% from the prior year to now. So as we've talked about in previous years and spent much of the budget going through, I'm just going to highlight a little more quickly what you see in some of the individual funds. The general fund is obviously our largest fund. Some of the increases you'll see there is we will find about an extra $18,000, which is a 42% increase in the elections budget. Again, absolutely outside of our control. Building permits, we have recorded a reduction in revenue of about $42,000. Building permit activity is actually increasing and has. But it hasn't been the large permit. That's one of the trickiest aspects of budgeting building permit revenue, is because those simple large projects where you have the hospital, the hotel, something like that, those can have individual permits of $50,000 to $100,000 in total when you look across each of the permit classes, building, electrical, HVAC. And what I found from some prior studies that I've done, how we budget for it, you really have to decide whether or not you want to include anticipating some of those big permits came in. This year's budget, we sort of split the difference and backed out about half of the amount to be a little more conservative. So that's built in there. Also, when you look through the budget, you'll note that there's about $45,000 less in interest revenue. That is largely a loss that needs to be recorded on long-term investments that we have because of new accounting rules that require that you take as an actual expense the book value of the loss for long-term investments. By the time those investments mature and we cash them in, all of any losses that were recorded or gains that were recorded in the year where the market's doing well relative to them all sort of washes out, and in the end we have the money we expected with the earnings we expected. But in the meantime, it makes that line item based on the accounting rules look relatively volatile. One other thing you will note when you get into it, you'll see that we do have an increase in the SALT budget of around $26,000. Again, that's one of those things very difficult to control. And on the flip side, we did have a decrease in the fuels budget by about $34,000 because the cost of fuel is so low. Those two factors together, when you combine them, we're probably at about the right level where if one's having a good year, one's having a bad year, we're okay. We didn't want to cut the fuel back too much, probably could have cut a little more, but that's likely a hole you would just have to fill in 2017 because there are very few pundits who think that the core gas prices will stay this low very long into 2017 or 2016. So we tried to smooth it out a little bit so that we didn't sort of dig ourselves a hole to solve later. So between the two, we think they're at the right level. The general fund 2016 expenditures will be about $25.2 million, which is actually a reduction of 1.3%, which stems largely from removing $675,000 of transfers that we built in 2015 budget. As you'll recall, we had a $500,000 transfer to capital so that we could have an increase in capital expenditures. And so those transfers are out of the budget, and that's what where the reduction in total expenditures come from. The levy in that fund, in the general fund, is $16.2 million, which is an increase of about 1.4%. There was $100,000 of excess levy in the debt service fund that wasn't needed this year, and that was transferred to the general fund. Other revenues, sort of across the board, is about $77,000, $78,000 up, which is about an extra 1% up. The library fund there on your list, they requested an expenditure of about $1.47 million, an increase of about $90,000, 6.5%. They were given a property levy increase of 1% to take them from, I believe, $1,240,000 to $1,252,000. That's basically sort of giving them their share of the original increase in growth of 0.94%. In the end, we backed off citywide to about 0.72%, as I said, but we did back that out from the library fund. I did reference that the implementation of classification compensation study will require movement of appropriations between some departments and funds. The library is one where you'll see that there's probably some additional funding that moves into that to support the implementation of the plan. And we'll get those numbers at a future meeting. There is some fund balance being used, not as much as originally requested by the library board, which was $147,000. The mayor submitted one that just leaves about $57,000, which is all to support capital purchases. And they have sufficient fund balance for that. Solid waste fund, when you get to page Roman numeral 11 in your book, if you notice that the second paragraph has a typo, it says for 2015 and 2016. I'll be impressed if you notice that, but it is a typo. I apologize for it. The solid waste fund had fairly level rate of $104.78 is the rate this year. There is built in a 2% rate increase. $106.95 total expenditures of just over $1.5 million, about 9% less, or 0.9% less than they were last year. And that's because the number of participating households has increased during this year. We anticipate that there will be about a 1% rate increase charged to us by the contractor and built into the formula that's in the contract. And we continue to try and make sure we're slowly building up the fund balance in that year, in that particular fund. And this does create a surplus of about $57,000 in 2016 to that fund. We're trying to grow that very slowly over time, and that's why we've been very moderate in the rate increases since that fund was established. The Sanitary Sewer Fund is also a fund that receives its revenue primarily from user fees. MMSD, again, outside of our control, really drives those costs there. They give us whatever increase they determine. We anticipate it will be about 3.4%. That spread over our users leads to about an anticipated 2% rate increase. The water utility, as with the normal course each year, by the end of the year, in approval, we include the water utility in our document, but we do not have their numbers at this time because that board is still working on their budget and control of their budget, so there's no information in the budget this time. Capital Outlay Fund, expenditures of just over $900,000 are anticipated. The budget continues the higher level that was incorporated last year, again, because there's some fund balance in there that does need to be used. And it works out well because we had some fairly significant and important demands in the department. For example, a couple of communications issues in the police department that need to be addressed. The police department has almost $400,000 in capital outlay, and the fire department about another $215,000. There's $32,000 for new trees to replace the impact of the emerald ash borer, and a used stump grinder, really a residual of that as well, for $35,000. And there's approximately $70,000 in different information services equipment. That will, information services is probably an area where you'll see some additional capital outlay each of the next couple of years, I would think, particularly since we're currently advertising for that position. And having a full-time dedicated director, you'll probably see a lot more improvements and enhancements that come out of that. As a little side note, I know we already have over 30 applications for the position. There's still more than a week left, so we're doing very well in that regard. The Equipment Replacement Fund has a tax levy budgeted for $342,000, which is an increase of, again, just about 0.9%. Now there's an additional $100,000 in landfill siting fees anticipated in that one. The Street Improvement Fund, then it consists of tax levy support of $639,000, which again, sticking to an increase of 0.9%. So that same distribution we tried to deal with throughout. And there's $133,000 landfill siting fee anticipated. One benefit there, this is the biennial year where we do get the additional highway fund external resource, so that's about an additional $70,000 available. In the budget, you'll see that engineering department did do a careful prioritized list of potential road projects. There's 10 projects listed. Funding listed there is sufficient to cover six of them if their estimates are actual. As you know, there's been a couple of years where pricing for asphalt came in low, and they were able to expand the list. And if you look over our history, I'm sure you'll find periods where pricing came in higher, and we couldn't get everything we scheduled. But if you look right in the budget, the estimates we have, you'll see those first six projects are expected to be able to be funded. The Capital Improvement Fund, there's quite a few projects listed there. It includes a lot of park development and acquisition so that we can continue the progress that we've had and also ensure that the impact fee revenue that we have is appropriately spent out within the appropriate time frame. It does include the expansion of TIP 4 and the creation of TIP 5, which is the planned retail area A, as I talked about earlier. It does carry over the city roof and entrance remodeling project. You actually should see that coming to you fairly shortly. I've had some initial meetings with architect to try and get that process moving and coordinating that with the roof consultant. The 27th Street project's costs are built into there. And county projects relative to reconstruction of West St. Martin's Road. You're aware and already authorized some engineering for a culvert on West St. Martin's Road. That's included. There's the annual allocations for sewer and water projects that come up. And there is an additional salt barn as well. The public safety has over half a million of expenses in there, the 548, and part of it is communications council to enhance the region-wide communications. Equipment for recording the dispatch communications needs to be replaced. And then the project for the intersection traffic signal emergency vehicle preemption, I believe that's around $117,000. To improve that important public safety component. The development fund, which is the impact fee fund, we have budgeted sufficient appropriations to deal with the revenue that's coming in and enough projects to make sure the expenditures that need to occur do, which is approximately in the neighborhood of almost $600,000. And that, I believe, walks through the funds. Most of those smaller ones that I indicated would be part of the budget this year for transparency purposes are not of the magnitude where I really need to go through in detail today. But when you get to your budget deliberations, we'd be happy to go into them to whatever detail you prefer. The budget preparation timetable, we're at the start of it, which is the presentation to you for the next 2 weeks. You're encouraged to contact the department directly with any questions you have as you work your way through the budget. I'm sure any one of them would be happy to schedule time with you if you want to dig into a particular budget in detail. Please also feel free to call Paul or myself on any of the questions. Monday, October 5th, the committee of the whole. That's the intended to be the primary budget meeting. And one of the goals for tonight's meeting or outcomes that we'd like for tonight's meeting is if you have specific recommendations as to which department heads you know you definitely want in attendance at that meeting so that they can answer corrections or questions directly to you. That's the guidance that we'd like to get from yourself today. That timetable is in your binder as well. I believe Paul told me it's on page 6, so it's in there as well. After that, after the 5th, if you still need more time, any of your other regular scheduled meetings, we put them officially on the calendar. The last day for budget changes to be made and still get them included in the public hearing notices, Friday, October 17th, because then Paul works over the weekend and early part of that week to get in the notice to the newspaper. But if you're not done with the budget, you're still able to make changes. It's just we do have to draw the line at what makes it into the public hearing so that we can meet the statutory requirements for public hearing and adoption. You will then have the public hearing on Tuesday, November 17th, where you can then historically we adopt the budget the same meeting with the public hearing. That is a late date, so I encourage you to work early on the budget process, because if you're trying to make changes late then and can't resolve it that evening, you run the risk of not having the property tax bill out on time, which becomes very, very problematic for people who are trying to do their own personal taxes and stuff and need those deductions paid. So with it being scheduled for Tuesday, November 17th, it probably is very important that we adhere to that. That summarizes everything that's in the budget. I would personally like to thank Paul for the amount of work that he put into this. He had to take a greater role this year because of the focus I had in doing some of the classic comp stuff at the same time, trying to bring it simultaneously for the budget, added a significant amount of extra work. So Paul picked up a lot on that, and I thank him for that. And unless there are any questions, we would look for the guidance as to who you, which department head you definitely want to see on October 5th.
Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Taylor.
Can we get a copy of your PowerPoint?
Oh, you need, yes. You need to it.
I can email it to you. We will also put it online as we normally do.
Thank you.
Alderman Taylor, then Alderman Mayor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Can we email, I'm not sure who I want to have here personally, so can we just email that request to you? Would
absolutely.
That be the best thing? Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have a list of questions, but now is not the time to go over it, because I appreciate the time you gave me yesterday to go over some of this stuff, not this budget, but some of the compensation and the fact that I have a little bit of a learning curve. I know what the job entails, but you know, I've been around, gone for a little bit, so I need to kind of catch up myself. So I think I'll be asking for a meeting with you and Paul to kind of go over where we went from 14 to that. So thank you.
Alderman Mayor.
Yeah, just something really simple on page 6, the schedule. It says the information needed for the October 1 budget discussion. Is that supposed to be 5th? On the second September 22nd notation.
Yes, that should be up.
Alderman Wilhelm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I just wondered if you could tell me what the, maybe Paul or Mark could tell me what the tax rate anticipated in the budget was last year and the previous year and what the actual final result change was. How much percent that changed?
I think last year's adjusted, the equalization adjustment was about 1.3 cents, if I recall. And again, that's...
up, right?
Yes, it was 1.3 pennies higher. Yeah. That comes from the state not having manufacturing numbers yet. We still don't have them. We won't until November. You will finish your budget before we have them. And right about the time, I think they have to get it by the 15th or first. They try to get that moved.
So does this tax rate anticipate that increase that we continue to see?
Well, what the tax rate anticipates is what we believe, based on the best information available, the manufacturing number to be. Now, one thing we did this year, as I said, is we were aware that they had equalization adjustment, I mean, correction on the prior year tax bill in one that they're making an adjustment to. And when they do that, it's sort of a double adjustment. They put the jurisdiction higher, and they bring it back down. So they double it up to make up for the prior year that that tax jurisdiction didn't pay the appropriate amount. So this year, we've anticipated that, as you can see, it was over a 3.5 cent correction that we did. And that was actually a very late correction for us. We almost finished the budget process and realized, you know, we're concerned about what they do. Last year, the 1.5 cents was more than I liked. I've never really worried since I've been an administrator in Caledonia. As long as it was under a penny, you just can't control it. You don't know what the Department of Revenue is always doing. But we had a heads up this time that it was coming, so we anticipated it. So it will likely be different, and it really depends exactly how their manufacturing comes out. Right now, it's most likely to go up a teeny bit because we do know border review queue flows about $1 million different. But that drop could easily be changed by the manufacturing So, but we think by making the adjustment that we did, the tax rate should be very close to what we're going.
Alderman Taylor.
Just on that note, this is an annual issue, right?
Yes.
And we've had it where it's gone down.
Yeah. It goes down as often as it goes up. But
okay.
Again, it's usually fractions of a penny.
Okay. I'll make a motion to forward this to the committee of the whole, to the mayor's 2016 recommended budget to the committee of the whole.
Second.
Second.
Discussion, Alderman Mayor.
I just have a question. Can you explain to me the change that's happening in TIP 4, whatever that decrease was that was talked about? Some adjustment, but it was only in TID 4.
Well, what you're talking about is the equalization adjustment. And Paul actually looked at those numbers, so I'll let him address it.
The adjustment that we're talking about for TID 4 is that the equalized value in TID 4 rose by nearly $10 million in the most recent year, and that's because the state had to correct the equalization that was omitted in the prior year, so they had to double it up. And the growth in TID 4 was 24%, while the city's growth was only less than 1%, and that's what's generating that equalization ratio. In 2017, the state will remove a portion of that increase for TID 4, and it'll come back down some, likely impact the tax rate in the opposite direction, as one of the aldermen mentioned. But we'll see what that is a year from now. In the current year, the equalization value in TID 4 rose by a little better than $10 million, which was about a 24% increase.
Okay, how does that happen with numbers that big, $10 million?
The conversations with the state equalization office on that had a correction to some private residences that were built in 2014, and not all of that increase in value got into the state numbers in time for when they released the equalization value for TID 4 the prior year. So they had to correct for it and put it in and then double it up for the most recent year so that the TID gets all of the money it's intended to get.
Okay, thank you.
Alderman Schmidt on the motion.
On the motion?
Well, we got a motion on that. Go ahead.
On the library fund, since we're going to be getting into the classifications in our positions within the library that are not really covered by the classification study because of their job descriptions, is there going to be an allowance for the library to factor in costs for these positions that may not fit into the structure of the classification?
The study actually did cover
everyone,
all of the staff of the library, except for that very entry-level shelver, I believe, which is, I believe, a minimum wage type of job. So we did not benchmark it that one, but all of the other positions, all the reference librarians, director, assistant director, library assistants, they are all included in the study. And as I indicated, a number of those positions actually were some of the ones that finished lower against the market. And so when Paul and I bring back an adjustment, there will be, I anticipate, additional funding moving over to the library so that they're held harmless for the initial implementation, but it will create some extra pressure on future year's budget as people at the bottom of the rate move up. But we do anticipate giving them extra money initially.
Well, would you anticipate that it might be in the realm of maybe $50,000 or?
No, the deficit or the challenge created by implementation based upon the way the numbers came out, I don't think it will generate that much. I think the cost is going to be more in the neighborhood of maybe $15,000. But again, we haven't finished that level of detail yet. We have to go sort of a person by person.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you.
Motion to table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We move on to item D. To the committee of the whole.
Yeah.
Of the 5th. And Alderman Mayor.
It's a simple motion.